everyone, welcome back. Welcome back for Hope for Today. Do you need some hope? Do you need to just get a little refreshment today? Okay, we're going to do it. We are going to do this. So I have a question for you today. Do you make a difference? Maybe you do. How do you make a difference? Do you make a difference in a good way or a bad way? Could be either way, right? So I want to list a couple of names for you. I'm going to mention a few names, and they're probably going to trigger some thoughts, maybe some nostalgia, maybe some feelings, maybe some great feelings. Who knows? Let me list them for you. Lucille Ball, Santa Claus, Brad Pitt, Princess Diana, Carol Burnett, Prince, Michael Jackson. Now, I'm not saying yay or nay. These are just names. I wanted to trigger some feelings, some thoughts in your brain. You know, there are many people through our lives that have made an impact in our life. They've made a difference in our life. Some good, not so good. You know, we wouldn't have trauma counseling if everything we did in life was good. Hopefully you've had enough people make an impact in your life that made such a difference that it's still with you, and that you in turn said, you know what, I got to do that for someone else. Have you ever had someone leave that much of an impression on you? You know, growing up as a teenager, I was very awkward, and I was a wallflower, if you want to call it that. I don't even think the young people call it that anymore, but I had a hard time making conversation, and I still do. I'm very much an introvert, and I have people laugh at me, oh, you're such an extrovert. No, I'm not. I can go on stage very well. If I have a job to do, I can rise to that occasion and do what is needed to be done. But if you got to know me on a very personal level, I am actually quite introverted, and I tend to draw back. I don't know how to fit in with a group. I don't know if I'm not comfortable. All those awkward things, they're still in me. It's just my makeup. It's just the way I am. I've had to learn how to work through that and with that and so on and so forth. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's just what I am. And I was like that through high school, and I didn't have a lot of friends. And I you know, you can get through high school. Just do your studies, get your grades, graduate, and be done. That was my goal. Get out of here. And then I started thinking ahead where life was going to take me. What was I going to do when I graduated? I never thought I'd get married or have children. I really didn't think anybody would want to get to know me enough to even consider dating me, let alone getting married to me. So that wasn't even an option. And I really wasn't college, maybe college, I don't know. I ended up going to business college, taking classes in addition to that. But that really wasn't my thing. And if I did college, I didn't want to have to go to a dorm and live with other people. And just getting I had a job since I was 14, but it was okay. But it wasn't something I could say would be a career. And I've always dreamed of having a career and being a businesswoman. That since I was yay big, that was my thing. So one day, ruffling through a magazine that I, you know, my mom would have been quite annoyed with that I had. It was one of those pop teen magazines back in the day, and I was ruffling through it, and there was an article about Marie Osmond, who I just wanted to be. I wanted to be pretty like her and sing like her and be a size 2 like her, and I was none of the above, but I wanted to be her. She had a book, and she was selling her book. It was just a couple dollars. I actually had to sneak the envelope in the mailbox, and I don't even know how I got the package, the book, in the house without my mom questioning what did I order. But I did, and I read the book cover to cover, just a little pamphlet book. And it talked about her being an introvert, and she had to come out of that if she was going to join her family singing. And the one thing she said is she could go on stage when she entered a new place and nobody knew who she was. They didn't know what her personality was. And this is, you know, granted, this is way before she became who she is now. But when she was in a different situation, she could pretend and go on stage and become who she wanted to be, which is one of the things that I did. So as I graduated high school and started working miscellaneous jobs and going to business college, I realized that none of these people knew who Lynn was. And I could be what Lynn wanted to be, and I could go on stage. And the more I went on stage, the more comfortable my stage performance became. Now, that's not to say when I went home or I was in a different situation, that introvert still came into me. But that woman left an impact on my life. What she wrote, the words she wrote, the suggestions that she made an impact on me. Now, she's secular, you know, she's not biblically based or anything like that. But sometimes our things that impact us come from different directions and different avenues. I want to show you some pictures. Maybe you know these people, maybe you don't. But I want to explain who they are, how they've impacted me, and what the end results were. How's that? So here's one right here. Let me actually do it double because of the sunlight. I don't want it to shine through the paper. So this man's name is Anthony, and he's waving hello. Who is Anthony? Who's this guy here? Who is he? Most of you probably don't know him, maybe have no clue who he is, and you're saying, who's Anthony? Why is she showing us this picture? Well, Anthony was somebody I met about 20 years ago. We had brought our cars in for repair. We were desperate, and we needed to get work done, and we called all around, and this place seemed to be the cheapest, and this guy was great on the phone. So we brought our car in, and it was a Goodyear dealer. So we thought, reputable, you know, hopefully they'll do right by us. And when I say we were broke, you know, we couldn't afford a piece of bread and butter. And he looked at our car and he says, okay, here's the deal. This, I would not even allow you to drive out without fixing. And you have all these problems, but he put a timeline on it. And he said, this can wait 3 months and this can wait 6 months and this could and this could. And he put prices next to it. And I felt comfortable as a woman going into a place that, you know, a lot of times if you're watching and a woman, you don't always feel comfortable going to these car places. You always feel like you don't know anything and they're going to just rake you over the coals with prices and you have to get all this work done. I'm a mechanic's daughter. I'm a truck driver's daughter. I know quite a bit about cars. I might not know how to fix everything, but I know what's wrong and I know what needs to be done. And I look up my prices before I go. So I'm fairly educated when I go in there, and everything he was telling me lined up. So I called my dad on the phone and I said, Dad, you know, blah, 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 blah. He says, he's spot on. Okay. Had to bring the car back over time. Every time Anthony greeted us with a smile. If he called it on the phone, he was very gracious and just cordial and always did right by us. I ended up sending my kids there. My parents went there with their cars. I've had coworkers and friends and people from church. We've directed probably, I don't even know how many people his way. And somebody says, I have a problem with my car. Go see Anthony. Well, a few months ago, we took our car in to be serviced, and guess what? Anthony wasn't there. Oh no, where did he go? Oh, he left. He started his own business. We wanted to follow him. Oh, what kind of business? Where is he? No, a different, totally different business. I guess he was going to school on the side for something, and now he's no longer here. Oh, we were so sad, and I was like, do I take my business somewhere else? What do I do? You know, we got the car repaired and we were down. Like we didn't like this very much. We happened to meet Anthony about a couple of weeks later and he said, guess what? I'm coming back on Tuesdays. I'm repairing cars on Tuesdays. The company has asked me to come back. So many people are asking for me. Great. Next time we need a car repair, we'll be there on Tuesday. Took our car in. We needed tires and we needed an oil change. We went on a Tuesday and guess what? Anthony was not there. What? What's going on here? No, couldn't handle both jobs. Anthony was gone again. Okay. Well, something happened with the tires that we had put on. I was noticing the alignment wasn't right, and I thought, better bring it right back in. So a week later, we go back in, and we walk in to see Anthony. And he's waving with a smile, as he always did. Guess what? It was a cardboard cutout of Anthony. He left such an impact and an impression on all the customers to this particular business that they didn't know what else to do. They couldn't get the real man. So what did they do? They got his photo and got a cardboard cutout made of this man. How many of us could leave a business, a place, a company that we worked for. And we've left such an impact on our guests, our clients, our customers, that they would do a cardboard cutout to greet you as you walked in that door. I don't know if I left America's Keswick. I cannot see them doing a cardboard cutout of me. What an impact that this man made. I'll tell you. I can tell you he's not saved. We have witnessed to him, and he's not saved. Anthony's a good man. Anthony loves his family. He loves his children. He's a good man. He's done right by me. He's somebody you can count on. And he's left an impact and an impression on our life. So if you think of Anthony, pray for him, because I don't know if we'll ever see him again, but we have left him with a message of Jesus Christ. Let me show you somebody else. Some of you will know him and some of you will not. This man's name was Robert Hayes. Robert and I met when he first started coming to Keswick, where I work, and I'm guessing that was 20 plus years ago. And I remember him driving in, and his oldest son was about 3 years old, and he was playing with a pirate ship in the front of the auditorium, and I went up to meet them, and we were gonna be doing some work together. And first thing that impressed me was his smile. Hi, and he just smiled. He was so cordial. And I watched him interact with his family. He loved his children, adored his wife. And 20 plus years later, Robert and I had the opportunity of serving together and working together. We spent time together as families. Our kids grew up together. We ate dinner at each other's homes. Robert and I worked together. We would go to the local beach together and have a bag dinner on the beach after 5 and watch the sunset and watch the sailboats go by with some friends. We would do quite a bit together outside of work as well as here at work. But I can tell you one thing, he was always the same. Robert's smile was the same, his personality was the same. Robert was somebody that made you feel like you were his best friend all the time. No matter who, first time you met him, you were his best friend. Robert was gracious. Robert loved the work that he did. Robert served well. Robert did life well. And Robert has just recently passed away. I just had the, I would say, honor and privilege of attending his memorial service. I don't know why the Lord took him home. I don't know. You know, from a human standpoint, I look around and there's others that I would have said, I would have probably, if I was the Lord, selected over Robert. That's me. I'm not the Lord. The Lord has the perfect plan. I'm still processing that. I still don't understand it, but I'm holding on by a thread to what I know is truth, and that is that God is sovereign. Why did God take Robert? I don't know, but I can tell you this. Robert was a good man. Robert left an impact. Robert did right by me and my family. Robert served well. Robert did everything Anthony did in the sense of a good human being. But you know one thing Robert did that Anthony didn't do? And this is where I want to sort of push us forward. Robert directed everything he did back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Robert did was to smile and show on his countenance that he had the joy of the Lord. Robert would do his work diligently so that he could do it with excellence, to say he was serving the King of Kings and he was doing it well. Robert loved his wife because that's what the Lord instructs in the Bible. Robert raised his children right because that's what the Lord tells us in the scriptures. Everything Robert did was to bring us back to this. Everything. What an impact Robert has left on thousands and thousands of lives through the ministry that him and his wife have had. Robert's no longer here. Somebody has to carry on that work. I mentioned a few weeks ago, my dad was a diligent man to preach the word and to talk about the gospel, and he's no longer here. I have another friend, Bill Bibick, that was on staff, and he's no longer here. He passed away a few weeks ago. These three great men are no longer here, but they've left an impact on my life, and maybe they've left one on yours. But they started a work that needs to be carried on. They shared the gospel, they loved on people, they just ministered to people, and so on and so forth. Are you in a position that you need to be reaching out and doing something different and leaving an impact on a life? I want to share a couple of verses with you today. And this is going to be part one. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to go through, kind of recap some of these notes, but then we're going to talk about in a practical way what you can be doing. So I'm going to be in Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you. The day you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ was the day he began a good work in you. What have you done with what the Lord has given you? Are you continuing the work? You know, Robert, Bill, and Alan all started a good work. They're not here. Their testimony and their life lives on in the hearts of all of us that they've impacted. And we are living today, and we can be serving and carrying on the work that they started. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I know we quote this verse as if it's just a flippant, oh yeah, I can do all things through Christ. But we need to absorb that. We need to just, like by osmosis, absorb this verse. I can do all things through Christ, only through Christ who strengtheneth me. You know what? There are days, I have to tell you, and I'm just like you, I don't feel like I can do a thing. I feel like I tripped over my feet, that my feet were put on backwards or inside out, and my speech, you know, speech impediments come out, my dyslexia comes out, and you know, just everything just feels backward and awkward. And I have to stop and say, Lord, help me. I'm doing the best I can and I'm making a mess of it. I don't know how many times I've even asked for help and it seemed almost to be worse. And on those days where you felt like, oh, I can't do it, somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I really appreciated what you did. And you're like, but I did. I didn't do anything. I'm a mess today. Like in your head, you're thinking. But those are the days that Christ really would shine through. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. You're a new creation. I don't care what you've done, what you did, how you think you've impacted lives, and the impression you made. When you become a believer, you are a new creation. Maybe today's the day you need to say to the Lord, I need to leave an impact in a life. Who do I need to minister? What do you want me to do? Next week, we're going to be talking about who is your Saul. Oh, I hope I've intrigued you. Come back for that one. And then in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. These good works that I do, that Robert did and Bill did and Alan did, they were good works. Yes, they were. They were absolutely great works. But they wanted to give glory back to their Lord and Savior. Everything we do, whether you're an Anthony, whether you're a Robert, everything that we do should be pointing back to the cross. Every single thing we do. I hope that you, in some way, shape, or form, will take today as a challenge. I need to leave an impression. I need to leave an impact on somebody's life. You don't know how to do it. You're confused. How do I start? I have no money. I have no education. I have disabilities. I'm just a mess. I haven't been growing in the Lord. Don't worry about that. We're gonna come back next week and talk a little bit more on a practical way how you can leave an impact on someone's life. I want to thank you for coming over today. Don't forget, we still have several books left on When You Feel Like Giving Up by Dr. Ray Pritchard. Little booklet. It's free. Don't hesitate to email me, call the front desk. We'd love to send that off to you. We'll catch you on the next podcast.